When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for Critical Thinking.
Welcome into Critical Thinking. Andrew Coppins, Pat Oney. You know the drill by now. Follow us on social media at The Coppins Show, at The Pat Oney Show, rumble.com/critical thinking. And of course, rate, review, and like, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. And by the way, if you are watching on Rumble and you like to listen throughout the week as well, but you listen on a platform we are not on, let us know. We'll get on it. It'll take us 30 seconds. Hit us up on social media. Again, at The Coppins Show, at The Pat Oney Show. Now, normally Thursdays, Pat, what do we do here on the show?
Normally we do a deep dive.
Yes, we do like a singular topic deep dive. But as I thought about it, and, you know, one of our most popular segments here on the show is what? Truth or fiction? And there's just so much insanity, so much stuff going on right now, right?
Uh-huh.
Does deep diving do us any good this week? I thought to myself, and well, guess what? We're doing bonus truth or fiction instead. That's right. We're giving the people what they want, more truth or fiction in their lives.
But it's Thursday.
Correct. It is Thursday. You are correct, Pat. But we are going to give them the bonus truth or fiction. So I've prepared all of the truth or fiction that you ever going to want or need. So we're going to do that today on the show. Of course, we're going to have the bee or not the bee. So I'm going to start with this. Truth or fiction? It is either lower your gas prices or Putin wins. And let me...
What the hell?
Lower the gas prices or Putin wins. Because that's what the president of the United States told us yesterday.
So for all those Republicans in Congress criticizing me today for high gas prices in America, are you now saying we were wrong to support Ukraine? Are you saying we were wrong to stand up to Putin? Are you saying that we would rather have lower gas prices in America and Putin's iron fist in Europe? I don't believe that.
So truth or fiction, it is either support Ukraine and pay the price, or lower your gas bills and support Putin? Truth or fiction?
That's total fiction. Complete fiction. Mm-hmm. 120% fiction. This president is a complete idiot.
Yes, yes, he is. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But also remember, this is the uniter in chief. Right? He told us he was going to unite America. Now, the joke has been, well, yeah, you've really done a good job of uniting America because they hate your economic policies, right? You've done a really good job of uniting America against you. Is that leadership, Pat?
It's more like the lack thereof.
Right. Yeah. And now, I don't know if I believe I touched on this. But we had to go to war. Well, not necessarily go to war, but we had to support the war effort in Ukraine. And then we had to do the economic sanctions, right? We had to do all of these things, right? We had no, to, we didn't. had to, because no, Putin is evil.
Putin is evil.
And that's it.
I agree that Putin is evil. I 120% agree that Putin is evil. But
Pat, we had to choke him off, right? If we just stopped his ability to do oil, if we just stopped his ability to do economic activity, eventually they would be choked off because they're a military that is stuck in the 1980s, right? Literally, like, their equipment is all from the 1980s, right? So if we just choke them off economically, we'd win. We don't have to go to war.
No. Because who's benefited from this? Not Ukraine. Certainly not us. Russia certainly has, though.
Are you telling me that there are now stories that Africans are going to starve because of this war?
Well, considering that Russia stopping, isn't it Ukrainian exports?
Wait, what?
Yeah, Russia is stopping Ukrainian exports.
Oh, so like the wheat and the potatoes and the things that the African, or at least Northern African population, cannot do for themselves when they have to get them from places like Ukraine. And they get choked off. That's bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
And what's next? You're going to tell me that Germany and France have a 50% reduction in their natural gas supply?
That's probably what they're going to tell you.
Oh, wait, because that actually happened already, Pat.
Germany
has had the 50% reduction in their natural gas supply from, wait for this, Russia.
Right.
So, predictably, Russia and the gas pipeline that, wait for this one, Donald Trump decided to approve, right? Decided to give his blessing to. We're now going to, and what was the argument then, right? So you're going to allow Russia to control Germany's economy. Now, when you reduce your supply of natural gas by 50% and you're a energy importer like Germany is that bad?
Oh, that's very bad.
Now, what do we also hear out of Germany? They're refiring phased out coal power plants. That's right.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Aren't they supposed to be part of some like climate change accord somewhere, mm-hmm. and they're not supposed to be doing that?
Now, they've
that
done
kind
some
of
very
stuff.
Inventive things in Germany, Pat. I mean, there's a really cool documentary that's out, I believe, on Amazon Prime. And my wife and I actually watched it. There's a city in Germany that has gone completely carbon neutral. And how they did it was super inventive. So that this is in like the Black Forest area, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so as they were using lumber products and producing lumber, they were actually reusing some of the scraps to help them produce power in multiple forms, by the way. So they would use it to help produce like solar power. They would use it in a way in which they could do hydroelectric power because they could wet down the wood and the wood would continue to do things. They would use it in fine little pellets. to power their own independent supply. It was very inventive. Problem is that that doesn't scale on a large, you know, multinational thing. So they're doing inventive things, but it turns out that when you are an energy importer, right, when you rely on others to give you the things that you need to supply the power to run your country, you're kind of beholden to that country. Now, what is next, Pat? What's next? You're going to tell me that the price of Russian oil has never been higher? What are you going to tell me? Because we're embargoing their oil. So yep. How the hell are they? I mean, if we embargo their oil, they can't produce it, right? And they can't sell it. So what does it matter if it's $190 a barrel, $300, $3,000?
Well, we may be doing all of those things or putting things, but did we forget about a major player here that Russia could be giving their oil to?
Whom?
Who? China.
Who?
China.
We?
China. China. China.
So what you're telling me is that Russia is making more off of their oil today than they were pre-embargo.
Correct. Yes. Yes. Yes, they are. Like I said, if anybody is benefiting from this war, it's Russia.
No. The West has cut them off. How is that possible? What is next? What is next? Are you going to tell me that the Russian ruble is worth more than it has been worth at any point in time in almost the entire last decade? What are you really going to tell me that?
When you say cut off, do you mean Joe Biden's version of cut off?
I don't want to know what Joe Biden's version of cut off is, Pat.
I'm just saying that they've not really been cut off. Mm. It's like rather than cutting them off, Biden took just the tip.
I wouldn't even say that.
I think
he handed them how shall we say this, enhancement pills. Right? Because if this is the problem that I have with this dichotomy, this false choice that Biden gave us, right? Either you support the effort in Ukraine, right? Because Putin be evil and we need to stop him. Or you support lower gas prices and Putin wins. Except for Putin's already winning by every definition.
Look,
Putin has done what?
I'm not going to sit here and say that.
Go ahead, Pat.
I'm not going to sit here and say that gas prices haven't been affected by what's going on in Ukraine. I'm sure we would have seen an increase of some sort despite, you know, what's going on in Ukraine, right?
Right, because we've seen what? Supply chain issues. We've seen all of these things that these other bottlenecks. And
right.
Most importantly, OPEC is seeing the same economic issues. Therefore, the price of everything is going up. We're not the only ones seeing inflation, Biden.
Right. So, but this is more of a result of bad economic policy. Bad policy when it came to what we did with COVID. And we're seeing all the effects of the inflation of those policies, that those policies have caused. And this is not just under Joe Biden. This has also been under Donald Trump. But in terms of the rise of gas prices, it is not strictly related to Ukraine and Ukraine in of itself. Lower gas prices, let's make some better economic policy decisions. Plain and simple.
Right. I mean, we're seeing the geniuses in Congress and in the Senate tell us that we're going to have to give ourselves a federal gas holiday as if, right on the eve of an election, Pat. Who would have thought oh, you know what? We're going to bribe you, the people, with a little bit of extra. We're gonna eliminate like an extra 10 to 15 cents off of your fill up at the gas station. What the? Really?
Which at this point, does 10 to 15 cents really make that much a difference?
On a gallon of gas? Yeah. Because if a couple of dollars, right?
Oh yeah, but here's the thing is like a lot of places are over $5 a gallon now, right?
I mean, look at the relief we're getting here in Illinois, Pat. They froze the 2 cent tax increase on gas here in the state. And that's relief, according to Marionette Joseph Biden. He said that yesterday too, by the way.
Do you know what this is?
That is the world's smallest violin playing the world's saddest song.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with you. That's my point, right? So here we are telling us either you support Ukraine or Putin's Iron Fist because you want lower gas prices, while they are trying to bribe people into voting for them at the ballot box in November, because remember, we gave you that tax holiday on your gas prices.
So alternatively,
hear me out on this, Pat. We could stop the idiotic embargoes that are not working and only enriching the person that you're trying to fight, right?
Right.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? When we know that Russia is stronger in its currency, in its wealth, in its power, in its influence, in its ability to control Western governments, you don't fight it by still enriching it. Well, if we don't embargo. Oh, and by the way, we haven't even touched on all of these civil asset forfeitures that are illegal, but also costing us millions of dollars a month. We haven't even touched on that. All those yachts that we're having to maintain and pay to keep in slips, and all of the things that are going on with all the oligarchs, right? That all their money has been frozen. That costs money to maintain. Who's winning? Who's winning?
It's kind of like, I don't know, my mind keeps coming back to this question of why should I support one tyrant 3,000 miles away versus 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away? That's basically what they're asking us right
now. Funny you should mention that, because we're going to get into something of that sort of a topic a little bit later here on these bonus truth or fictions. But let's go ahead and move on, because I've got another truth or fiction based off of some news stories that came out yesterday. So truth or fiction, it is not us, we the people, but it will be companies that stop the COVID insanity.
I think this is both truth and fiction.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit of both. I do think on some level it is going to be we the people. It's going to be we the people standing up and saying, hell no, we're done with your stupid idiotic policies. I then think because of that, and if there's enough drive for it, and not even necessarily, and this isn't necessarily just related to just the people in of itself, but this would also be the politics and the economics driving force of making companies stop this BS, right? So if you have enough people standing up to it, and you have enough people not supporting certain companies that are of the woke COVID cult of COVID variety, mm-hmm. then those companies might start knocking it off and might start saying, no, we're not supporting this anymore. So I think it's really a combination of both. It's got to be the again, we're not a nation of laws. We're a nation of political will, right? Always have been. Mm-hmm. Based on that political will, based also on that economic will, those companies will change their tune.
Yeah, and I think you saw an example of this, right? With the literally the second that the Supreme Court's decision on, or not the, was it the Supreme Court? No, it wasn't the Supreme Court. It was the Florida judge, right? The federal judge in Florida who knocked down the mask mandate on flights. The second that that happened, every one of those companies literally said, nope, we're getting rid of them. Take them off mid-flight, by the way. Right. Because, you know, that makes any sense, right? Either they have been working so great or it was just theater all along. But to that point, right, to your point, that is that economic driver. They knew that this was an economic depressant for them. So let's take it off. Let's make people happy. Let's get these flights on the ground. Let's get the flights coming back. But I present to you another example of this, Pat. Publix, which is one of the largest grocery store chains in the country, right? They announced that they will not offer vaccinations from COVID-19 to the children that are under the age of 5. Now, we haven't touched on this subject because it's absolutely insane to think that a parent would look at evidence and suggest that, you know what I should do? I should inject even more vaccines into my 6-month-old than already are put into their arms and legs and all sorts of ways, right? You know what I should do? I should add to that. And there's no evidence that these things do anything. And more importantly, the evidence suggests that there's negative efficacy for kids under the age of 5 in their own studies done by Moderna and Pfizer, right?
Right.
Publix is saying, yeah, take your FDA and CDC recommendation, turn that sumbitch sideways, and shove it straight up your candy ass, right?
To quote the Rock. That's basically what happened, yeah.
The governor, the White House tried to browbeat the governor in Publix, right? Tried to, how dare you? You're endangering the lives of little kids.
No, they're not.
Ron DeSantis and the Florida governmental response was what? We're not saying you don't have access to it. We're saying we're not going to facilitate that. If you want to go to your doctor and get that shot, go for it. We're just not going to be part and parcel to the distribution of that shot on a public health level. No, go get it. Your doctor's office has a supply of it, right? You want to go get it from CVS and CVS decides they want to give it out, go for it. But this is why I believe this is truth. Because what has driven all of this from the very get-go? And we talk about, you got to go back to May, June, July of 2020, Pat. Think all the way back to 2 years ago this time. Companies were shuttering their businesses like crazy, right? Small businesses were being absolutely crushed by government action, right? Shutting their business down, telling them that your restaurant can't open. And if it does open, it can only open at 10 people, right? Or you can only have 10% capacity or this percent capacity or that percent capacity. It was only when those businesses said, I'm going to go out of business, and it hurt what? The tax base. That they began to lift. It had nothing to do with science. The science was always there. Quote unquote, the science. Data analysis was always there to tell them that you didn't need to worry about this. But it was only until, it wasn't us in the public saying, what the hell are you doing, right? Standing up and doing those things. No. How many protests on capitals did we see throughout this country that did nothing in red states, in states that were, you know, look at Utah, right?
Mm-hmm.
It did basically nothing.
I don't know.
It wasn't the people, Pat. It was the companies. It was the companies telling government, I'm going to go out of business and you're screwed if I go out of business, right? Mm-hmm. They began to then lift restrictions. It was only when companies, large and small, said no, did government stop. It wasn't when you and I said no. It wasn't when we lifted our voices. It was when companies, and here's why. We don't live in a republic anymore, Pat. We live in an oligarchy. And who controls the oligarchy? Big businesses. BlackRock, Vanguard, you know, the woke corporate world. It was only until they signaled to the government that something was wrong did something change. Only then, and it was Republican or Democrat. It had nothing to do. You could talk about Utah Revival and some of those other great things that happened, right? It was about fellowship and community, but it didn't change a thing. Not one thing changed because you and I pissed and moaned to our elected officials. It was only when the people who had the purse strings, right? When those people held those things in front of government and said, you either listen to us now or you're done, did anything change?
I will say this. When they were doing a lot of the events around the state in protest to the mandates and such, right? Because they weren't just at, you know, Capitol Hill, they were at various spots around the state. A lot of these like Utah Revival spots, what they did is they invited businesses from all over the state to come and set up and promote their business, and sell products, sell goods, sell like sell food. You know, a lot of food trucks came. I agree with you in the sense of business is certainly a big driver and probably and primarily in control of all of this. I would agree with that. However, at least for this particular state, I don't think a lot of businesses would have gone out of their way to really truly protest without the help of Utah Revival and Eric Moutsos and all those people that stood up. So
no, and I get that. But what was the most impactful part of the Utah Revival? It was business, right?
Business, yeah. Yeah, they were able That's to bring point. In a lot of money.
And this is my point, too. Publix standing up and saying, hell no, that is a massive, massive signal. I mean, we all know the COVID crazies out there, right? That will get their, you know, 6-month-old jabbed.
Right.
For what, despite all evidence to the contrary. I mean, I said this to my wife yesterday. That 6-month-old has a better chance of dying of a venereal disease than they do of COVID. And they ain't getting a venereal disease.
Right.
Think about that. Yeah. But that's how insane people are. But how do you combat this? How do you say, hell no? How do you push back? You've got to have the corporate power because we do not have that republic anymore. We have that oligarchy. And the only way through that is for those types of corporations to say, F you. That's the political will. That's where it actually exists. It doesn't exist with we the people right now. There is an opportunity, and I'm going to remind you of this. Starting next week, we begin Reviving Liberty, a brand new podcast. This is not politics. This is not news of the day. Reviving Liberty is all about the path, the steps to understanding what liberty is, what revival is, and most importantly, how to apply it for our future. Not looking to the past and saying, oh, gee, I wish we could do that again. No. We need to understand how this can work for our future. And so I'm going to give you the steps, the path. We're going to work on it. We're also going to give you tactics to help you implement those principles, those steps, that path that you can personally take. Reviving Liberty, coming your way starting next Tuesday. Brand new experience. Again, I cannot emphasize this enough. This is unlike anything you are ever going to hear or have ever heard in this space ever. It doesn't exist. This is absolutely unique. So you're going to want to check it out. Reviving Liberty. We should have the trailer up soon. And as soon as we do, I'll give you the link so that you can subscribe and that you won't miss an episode. What I can tell you is that the first week, we are actually going to drop two episodes in the first week. Normally, it'll just be a weekly one. But we actually have two episodes before we get into the path. And it's an explanation of what the podcast is about. Most importantly, helping us to define some terms before we get you onto that path. So that's where we're going to go with that. But yeah, starting next Tuesday, that's where we're going to be. All right. So before we get into the final two truth or fictions that I have for you, Pat, how about we play the bee or not the bee?
Let's do it.
All right. So the headline for today's the bee or not the bee is this. Zelensky disappointed Biden only sent him Ben Stiller instead of the Will Ferrell he requested. Zelensky disappointed Biden only sent him Ben Stiller instead of the Will Ferrell he requested. Now, while you're thinking about that, please make sure you go to AmericanPrideRoasters.com. It is unbelievable what Dave and Faith and their dog are going through. Wow. If you've been able to follow what he's been putting out on Twitter over the last couple of weeks, they are still struggling mightily with insurance. And I know, Pat, you've had that fun experience as well. Yeah, they need your support. So a great way to do that is to buy some American Pride Roasters. Go to AmericanPrideRoasters.com. AmericanPrideRoasters.com. Historically great coffee. All right. Do you need the headline one more time?
No, because that was a softball.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Babylon Bee.
You are correct. Again, the headline, Zelensky disappointed Biden only sent him Ben Stiller instead of the Will Ferrell he requested. President Zelensky has reportedly contacted the White House to arrange the return of Ben Stiller, who was sent to Ukraine by mistake. According to sources, he had requested Will Ferrell via mail order from America's stock of pandering celebrities. This is an enormous mistake, Zelensky told UN ambassadors. Who is this Stiller? I want loud man-child with curly hair that makes the funny. My troops will accept nothing less. Have you seen Elf? It's a modern Christmas classic. Ben Stiller was reportedly embarrassed by the terrible mix-up and offered to follow him around for a while and put together a documentary. I'm sorry, Vladimir, but I'm also a director. Let me tell your story, Stiller said. Ha! No thanks. We've had enough Sean Penns for a lifetime. Leave me, Simple Jack, yelled the enraged Zelensky. President Biden reportedly blamed Putin for the shipping error. The burden on our supply chain has disrupted our celebrity influence, said the president. We ask our allies to remain patient as we work to end Putin's terrible influence on Hollywood. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre took questions on the awkward meeting, but could only confirm that she had no notes on the matter. I assume everything is fine, she said. I'm a big fan of Night at the Museum. The Hollywood actor, best known for his stint as a male model, posed for an awkward picture with Zelensky before leaving. You sure don't want me to teach you blue steel? My people are dying.
Wow.
I mean, how insane is this? I have never once in my entire lifetime seen a war in which one of the two presidents or one of the two heads of state, right, are sitting there posing for pictures with celebrities from across an ocean. What the absolute hell kind of a war is this?
Blue steel. But I will say this much, though. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty is probably one of Ben Stiller's best and also a very underrated movie. So...
Fair enough. All right. Now that you have won $100 of Dominic Izzo's totally legitimate, not a Ponzi scheme, network marketing money. Okay. It's time to move on back to truth or fiction because I've got one for you that'll rack your brain.
Okay.
Truth or fiction, the GOP is worthless and a red wave in November will do nothing.
Okay. First of all, I think it's going to depend on how much of a red wave there's actually going to be at the end of the day, because it can do one thing, and I think it'll do one thing only, and that is prevent Biden from passing really stupid policies and potentially creating a veto majority. So it could do both of those things. Now, here's why I would say this is truth, though.
I don't want you to both side in these things. It's either truth or fiction, man.
Well, this is, but no, I'm going to also say
it's truth. You've been both siding all of these things.
I'm going to say it's truth, but here's why. First of all, how many progressive Republicans are there? Second of all, how many Republicans will literally crap the bed and not do anything with a majority?
They've never done anything with a majority other than the Contract for America in the 90s. And how did that work out in the end?
Not well. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to do much, if anything at all. Okay.
So this one is 100% true. And I want people that are listening, come here. If you're watching, come real close. Or if you're listening, listen real hard. The GOP hates you. They hate you. They despise you. And when they get power, they will make sure you don't get anything. They crave power. They are progressive. See, when they actually have to unmask themselves, right? When they actually have to do it, I want you to think about this. Name a values, a morality topic, a economic topic. Name any topic, policy, principle that they have not stabbed you in the back on. Name one. When they've had power. Oh, we're going to balance a budget if we just get Paul Ryan to be the Speaker of the House. You know what? If we get that wave, right? Paul Ryan. Did we ever balance the budget?
Nope.
No. Not. Well, we just had to have more power. See, the problem is that you didn't give us enough power. But I want you to think about this, Pat. Just about 12 hours ago, Liz Cheney voted on the Armed Services Committee in lockstep with every Democrat to kill an amendment that would have done what? Forced the Defense Secretary to rescind the COVID vaccine mandate for the military.
That's your first problem.
Let me get this through your thick skull. This is a GOP leader, by the way. This is somebody who's in a position of power, or at one point in time was, and still holds a ton of influence. As something as simple as a COVID-19 mandate. Something as simple as that, they can't even vote with the base. Now, prior to this, we watched 14 Republican senators tell you red flag law, choke on it. An 80-page bill that will do what? Strip you of your gun rights if you speak ill of the people in power. No protections, no nothing for your constitutional rights. 14 of them said screw you to the Republicans. Almost all of them, over 20 of them in the Senate, over 50 of them in Congress just 2 weeks ago voted to do what in the dark of night, Pat? Take a stab in the dark.
Increase spending?
Yep. They voted to increase our debt ceiling by $2.5 trillion.
Which, I mean, they've done for how many years now?
Notice all of these things are fights that they should have with the Democrats, right? No, we're going to stand up and we're going to have that fight. Why are we doing the mandates? Why are we doing the COVID-19 mandates? Why are we doing gun control when we know what happened in Uvalde, Texas was down to what? Absolute negligence. All the debt ceiling? You mean that we've spent $7 trillion in 3.5 years at best? Right? We spent $7 trillion more than we were supposed to. But you know what we should probably do? Raise the debt ceiling and make sure that nothing is tied to it, by the way. We're going to raise the debt ceiling, but we're going to also balance our budget, right? There's none of that in the mix. Do you notice, Pat, the GOP, the people that we elect, right, that we are told every single time, shut up, vote for them, and they'll do our bidding, right? They'll do it. Who do they fight with at every opportunity? It is not the Democrats. I'll give you a hint. It is you. They hate you.
I mean, if GOP stood for grifter, I mean, that's essentially what it would stand for right now, right? Because here's the other thing. I mean, there are not even a handful of Republicans that actually do believe and do stand for these things.
Yeah, I could. But, so I can literally count on probably one, maybe two hands at best. So you got Mike Lee, you got Rand Paul. You got Ted Cruz, who sometimes can be a little squishy, but more often than not, right? You've got Thomas Massey, Chip Roy.
Yep.
Mike Gallagher from my home district back home.
Uh-huh.
Who stands 90% of the time in lockstep with the values. Uh-huh. But beyond those individuals, every single one of them hates you. So I want you to think about this, right? So go ahead, you know what? Just red wave it, right? It's totally going to change. Nothing will change because they are one in the same. These people are one in the same. They may. A great example, right, is the previous senator, the previous junior senator from the great state of Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Who went across all conservative media touting exactly how conservative his values were and da 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 da, right?
Wasn't he a bit flaky?
I see what you did there. Because it was what, Kevin Flake, right? Or is it?
No, Jeff Flake.
Jeff Flake. Turned out, wolf in sheep's clothing. So I ask you this. Why in the hell would you continue to vote? And then, I am being honest. Well, you got to vote the Liz Cheney's out. For whom? A person who's just going to be the same? The party?
Which is what it is the vast majority of the time.
You.
Mm-hmm. Like trying to find like a Mike Lee or a Rand Paul is like trying to find a needle in a haystack anymore. A very big haystack.
Yeah. I would argue it's more like trying to find a needle amongst a pile of needles. Like the really fine needle, right? We're not looking for the booster shot type of a needle. We're looking for like the little IV needle.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're looking for the Where's Waldo, right? Except for everybody's wearing red and white striped shirts, right. Only they're all vertical instead of horizontal. It's two sides of the same coin. So electing these people does nothing. This is why we talk about reviving liberty. These people hate you. It is time for you to stop relying on them to change anything. And it's time for you to start realizing it is on you to force them to bow to your will. The time of, well, if we just sit back and elect these people, you know what? Things will change, right? And I get your point, right? That there could be a way to stop the bad things that in the Biden administration, except for these people believe the same thing.
I don't trust that they're going to do it.
No.
That's the thing.
We've handed them the keys time and time again, and they've done nothing. They've had every opportunity to do a simple thing like defund Planned Parenthood, right, on a national scale, and they refuse to do it. Even with veto-proof majorities and the same president, the same party in the White House, refuse to do
right.
it. Right. We've talked about that, right? Because why? Your lobbying dollar goes away. Uh-oh. I just bring this up because I hope you understand that on every topic, on every value, on every policy, they stab you in the back. And you turn around and say, stab me in the front. It is you that is the problem. Because you continue to accept it. It is equally their problem, by the way. But if you continue to accept it and accept it and accept it and not demand actual change from them, is that not a you problem? Now, along those lines, I've got one final truth or fiction for you, Pat.
Okay.
Truth or fiction. There's no such thing as responsible infringement of our rights.
Responsible infringement. What the hell is that? No, there is no such thing. Responsible infringement is still infringement. Infringement is bad.
Mm.
When you infringe on someone's rights, that is bad. It doesn't matter if it is responsible or not. It is still bad.
You are correct. Now, to bring me circling back to the last truth or fiction.
Uh-huh.
14 United States senators voted lockstep with every single Democrat to infringe upon your rights at their whim. If you actually read any of the Safer Communities Act, just like in every other bill that's passed through Congress, the language is very vague. But they're doing the responsible thing. See, we just have to have responsible gun control. There's no such thing as responsible infringement upon your rights. And this isn't just about the Second Amendment, by the way. Pat, is it irresponsible to yell fire in a crowded theater?
I could make the argument that depends on the context.
Okay, so the theater is super crowded and there's only one exit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that irresponsible of you to yell fire? Or gun?
Yes, it would be irresponsible of me.
Okay. Is it your right to do so?
Yes.
Okay. Because here's the rub, right? You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Yeah, you can, actually. That's not what the Supreme Court ruled on in that case.
Mm.
They ruled that the action cannot cause harm, right? The action, not the words, the action. The thing that you couldn't do is lock the door. That's what they ruled upon. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater and then lock the door. That is the right that you don't have.
Right.
And that's not a right, by the way. That was an action.
But by doing, by locking the door, you are then infringing on other people's rights to get out.
We also talked about Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor and Breyer and what's the other one? Kagan?
Kagan.
Telling us that we're going to infringe upon your religious rights because separation of church and state, right? Because that's the responsible thing to do, right? We can't possibly have public money spent on private institutions, right? And if you do, you better be non-sectarian. Which is hilariously an awful interpretation of the free exercise clause versus the separation of church and state. So it's the exercise and establishment clauses, right? In the First Amendment. They're meant to be what, Pat? Those two clauses are meant to be complementary, not antagonistic to each other.
Right.
The government shall establish no religion because we want the free exercise of religion. If the government establishes in the state of Maryland that Catholicism is the state religion, that thus crushes your free exercise of your religion. This is what I'm talking about. But the responsible thing is to make sure that government can't. No. Just because it's responsible doesn't mean you get to infringe on my rights. No-knock raids are another great example of all of this, right? You have a right under the Fourth and Fifth Amendment against illegal search and seizure. Just not even knocking. Just come on in. Wait, what? Hold the freaking phone. No. Just like red flag laws, just like the actual red flag law that is in this bill, by the way, strips you of your right before you get to meet your accuser, before you get to go to court. For basically anything, there is no definition as to how this gets taken away. Now, could your personal actions strip you of your rights? Yes. Your actions. Your movement. Your things, right? For instance, I don't know, murdering somebody, right? That's suddenly your rights are now infringed upon because you did something illegal. You actually did something illegal and it gets adjudicated in a court of law. You shoot somebody, you lose the right to own a gun. Shoot somebody without warrant, right? You lose a right. Why? Because you can't be trusted with those rights. At least that's what the left will tell you. I would argue that you've paid your debt to society. And if you do it again, right? I would argue that the only time that rights get to be infringed upon is by your own personal action. And once you have chosen to do that, you have stripped yourself of those rights.
We have said before, you may be free to do these things, but you are not free of the consequences of these things.
Right. We've talked about this all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Would the responsible thing be not to have a baby out of wedlock?
Right.
That doesn't mean you go to kill somebody because you are pregnant. You chose an action, and there is a pleasurable consequence, but there's also a potential for a quote-unquote negative consequence, even though I would never suggest that an actual human being being born is a negative for society. Yes, even if Adolf Hitler was born, Because Adolf Hitler born was not Adolf Hitler 40 years later. Again, there's no such thing as an infringement of your right that is responsible. Those two things are incongruent with each other, in my mind. But, see, again, 14 GOP senators said that it is. We're going to infringe upon your rights because responsibility. Notice it's a responsibility of those who are law-abiding, by the way. Those who are just going to ignore the laws. Screw your infringement of my rights, right? You are turning law-abiding people into criminals by this. If you refuse to play by the strip your rights before you get your rights back move, right? Because it's not just the Second Amendment. You have now stripped somebody of their First Amendment rights, taken away their Second Amendment rights while denying them their Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights in the process. And then only after they pay money and prove to you that they are quote unquote responsible, do they get their rights back? That is not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Even if we know that we could stop and save just a life. Well, guess what? We could have done that in Uvalde, Texas, except for what? As we talked about yesterday. Their cowardice, their negligence.
Negligence.
And we see a picture now coming out, by the way, from Discord, right? Or Disclose, I think it was. Did you see this on Twitter this morning, Pat?
I did not.
There was a police officer with a student who was in that building, just standing there, while classmates were getting murdered. How the hell does that happen on a personal level, let alone a professional level? Now, we also know the head of the Uvalde school district police force, right? Or the public safety force or whatever the hell they call it there, paid unpaid administrative leave. What? How about you fired? No questions asked. Go ahead and sue me. I dare you. I've seen enough evidence out of the head of the Texas Department of Public Safety to know you're fired. That, by the way, that doesn't violate his due process rights. Your due process rights are a legal thing. They are not a employment thing. Bye-bye. See you later. And who do they promote? Oh, one of his lieutenants. On an interim basis. So one of the incompetent buffoons who were cowards. That'll do the trick. But hey, you know, the GOP, man, just keep voting for them, right? Just keep sending them in. Bothers me. Over the last 24 hours, Pat, I am not kidding you. I try to listen on and off to different people speak because it's good to get ideas and good to understand where people stand. I have heard not once, not twice, not three, but four times this, we have got to have this red wave in November or we're screwed as a country. We have got to elect because Biden is a menace to our society.
I mean, they aren't wrong about that.
But your answer is to put the people who agree with him back in power? Your answer is to give them what? Democrat light? You know what? I can't have Coke anymore. I should have Diet Coke. Oh, wait. Diet Coke is equally as bad for you, if not worse for you, than real Coca-Cola, by the way. I just, what the hell? This is, again, I can't emphasize this enough. This is why Reviving Liberty has come to be, right? This is why we are talking about these things. Because if you don't realize that electing new people, right, sweeping out the rhinos, go rhino hunting, only to put another person in power who just becomes a rhino in 5 years. If you don't understand that, right? How does Lindsey Graham continue to get elected, right? He turns into a rhino for 5 years and then on magically election year turns into the most conservative person you've ever met, right? His famous takedown on the Brett Kavanaugh situation. That happened in an election year for Lindsey Graham. Oh, so they play one on TV for you for a year before they go and stab your ass in the back.
Well, not to mention, he did find his conservative cojones after John McCain passed away.
No comment as to how or where he found those cojones or on whom they belonged to.
Right. That's my point.
I can't even with most of conservative talk radio, most of right-wing radio. How the hell do you not see this? How the hell do you come up and honestly say, you are as bad as Sean Hannity is when you say those things? You're as bad as Sean, I hand Lindsey Graham a platform every week, Hannity.
Not to mention, you know, you have a lot of these supposed, you know, GOP Republicans that, while I understand, you know, not necessarily being for Trump, they were very much against Trump and very much betrayed all the principles and values they pretty much stood for or claimed to stand for when they put this president in office, because this administration and everything that Biden and his handlers stand for are contrary to what the GOP claims to stand for, which, as we've been saying all along, don't really stand for those things at all. They hate you.
So hear me out on this, right? Jesse Kelly and a bunch of other people are talking about we have to fight, right? We have to fight, 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 fight. But those same people then out of the same breath will say the fight is elect Republicans. No, it's not. No. The fight is actually not with the Republican Party. Have it there. Have it there. Have it out. You let every single one of these bastards know what's up. You let them know. But guess what? We're going to take your ass out. And oh, by the way, we're probably going to vote the other side, because what the hell's the difference? You take away their toy, which is power, right? Take it away. You don't give it to them. You don't hand them the toy after they just hit you in the head with it, right? You don't give the toy back to the baby who just continuously is throwing it and hitting you in the head, right? You don't, oh, you know what? It's fine. No. Nope. Toy gone. Right? After the second time that happens, the toy's gone, right? First time, maybe it's an accident. The second time, hell no. See you later. Toy gone. I don't care. Go and cry in your corner. Now, on that note, Pat, do you have any final thoughts from today's show?
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And in a world where Diet Coke is just as bad for you as regular Coke, time to switch to zero sugar.
Please be smart, be safe, be kind. As always, Matthew 5:47.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.